you're from and what you do for a living. So there's a little survey that I have that I want to go ahead and see if I can get this out to you. I don't think it showed up, but I'll go ahead and ask it now. So, how many of you consider yourselves to be perfectionists? So that's the first question. How many of you consider yourself to be perfectionists? If you do, just type yes into the chat box. Or if you're not, then type no. So, what do we mean when we say perfectionist? Essentially, we're talking about you put a lot of pressure on yourself to pretty much be perfect, right? To perform something like your speech perfectly. That means there's no disfluencies. So, in other words, when you have disfluencies, you get frustrated or you get upset with yourself. So, in terms of perfectionism, as it relates to your speech, we're talking about when you have disfluencies, you might beat yourself up, or you might say, why did that happen? Especially if you're going through a training program or coaching like this, you may have set expectations such that you feel like you should be completely fluent 100% of the time. All right, now got some questions yet. Yeah, so feel free to ask your questions in chat or voice. You can even turn on your video if you want to ask a question, because this is going to be a discussion, but I'm also going to have a little bit of instruction in here. So I'm going to go through some things and then I'll ask you all if you'd like to turn on your video and your audio so that we can have a discussion. So Jamie says, when you mentioned putting pressure on yourself, yes. All right. Okay, so we got a lot of yeses, got a lot of yeses to that. How about, do you find that you beat yourself up or you criticize yourself when you do mess up? So there's one where you set expectations that I need to be fluent, I need to be 100% fluent. So that's one. The other side of that is when you're not fluent, how do you handle that? Do you beat yourself up? Do you criticize yourself? If that's true for you, put yes. If it's not, then put no. Okay. All right. So I'm going to do another video that I get out that's more targeted to expectations. But today we're going to talk about another side of this and we'll go into that. So hopefully most of you had a chance to watch the video that I put out. Let me just see. When this fluency continues to happen, yes. Focus too much on content. I don't feel like talking. Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. So let me ask you this. When you're speaking, and sometimes before you begin to speak, and you start to feel anxious or nervous, so let's say you have something coming up where you need to introduce yourself or give a presentation, say certain words, right? Could even be a phone call, could be ordering coffee. So it could be something social or professional. Do you start to feel that pressure? And when you do you do something to try not to? That is, do you resist that, like, oh, I really don't want to get stuck, or I don't want to stutter, I don't want to block, I don't want to mess up on this word? How many of you tend to do that? So it could be before it happens, and so you're negatively anticipating it and you're thinking about it, you're trying not to think about it, or you're actually in the situation, you're feeling that pressure, you're feeling anxious or nervous, and you're trying not to, right? How many of you does that happen to? Happened yesterday. Yes, I do often, which makes me avoid the conversation. Let's see. Tell myself better be quiet than talk. Better to be quiet than talking. Rejoin through a meeting and can now hear you, Michael. Sorry. Okay, no problem. Great. As soon as I anticipate it, I remind myself to say positive affirmations, breathe and relax, Yvonne. Okay. Good, 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 good. All right. So this is very, very common, right? This happens to many, many people. And what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at two laws. We're going to discuss them. Now, I don't want to spend time kind of in full teaching mode because I want to spend time answering your questions and addressing specific issues. That's why I put the video up first. So make sure you go back and watch the video, but we will go through some of that content now just for context. Before we get into it, though, let me ask, how many of you watched the video or listened to the video that I sent out? So go ahead and type yes in the chat box, just so I can get an idea of how many of those of you who are here actually watched the video that I put out. All right. And I'm just going to be going through some of the questions here. Yes, it often depends on the audience. Introducing myself in a meeting where people take turns. Yeah, of course, that's the big one. Only saw the email today, didn't get a chance. Okay. Didn't see the I did not see the video. Did you send it in an email? Yes. Sent in an email yesterday. Don't worry about it. I'll get it out to everyone again. Okay. But a lot of you did, some of you didn't, no problem. Because I actually sent out a few emails yesterday. I apologize for that. Okay. Was hoping you would discuss further today. Yes, I will. All right, so let's take a look at this first law, the law of relaxation. All right, law of relaxation. And this law says that in all mental workings, effort defeats itself. In all mental workings, effort defeats itself. So, who can tell me what you think that means? And again, you can use your voice, you can turn on your audio, you can turn on your video, or you can type it in the chat box. Either way is fine. Joe, go ahead. Joe, and you can, once again, you can do your video or audio.
Not sure if you guys can see me.
I can see you, yes.
Hello? Okay. What I think this law means from my personal experience, especially it happened yesterday when I had a call with a client, right? And before the call, the only thing that was going through my mind was don't stutter or don't get stuck, don't repeat that. That was the only thing I was focused on.
Okay.
And my mind went to that. It didn't go to the don't, it just remembers the word stuck. So I got on the call, but honestly, couldn't get a single word out. And it pissed me off just because it's been happening kind of this whole week, but on that call specifically, like I told myself to not do it, and here I am doing it. And then I realized I was putting so much effort to the point where it defeated itself. Like, I was not relaxed. I was not calm. So where your mind goes, that's where your mind is gonna go. So I was not really focused on the client. I was more focused on me and my speech and not being stuck and trying to sound as fluent as I can to the client, which it backfired.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Joe. All right. So that's a great example, right? The law of relaxation says in all mental workings, effort defeats itself. So you just heard a perfect example that When you focus, and you've heard me say this before, probably in lots of videos, but it's true, and you really have to get this in your mind, get this in your head. And we'll talk about some strategies to refocus, but the more you focus on what you don't want to happen or what you want to stop, right? Like, I want to stop stuttering, stop blocking, stop getting stuck on these words, or I hope I speak well today. I hope I don't do this. The more you focus on that, what tends to happen is you build more pressure. You actually become more anxious and more nervous, right? And this can happen before the meeting, and it can happen during the meeting or during the conversation or during the event. So, keeping that in mind and remembering this law, which says in all mental workings, everything that you do in terms of thinking and thought, and so forth, effort defeats itself. The more you try, the more effort you put into trying not to do something or for something not to happen, the more likely it is that it will happen. It actually kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So then the question is, what can you do instead? So you're in the conversation, you're in the meeting, and you just find that you have this train of thinking where you're constantly worrying and thinking about what you don't want to happen. What can and what should you do instead? So I put that out to you guys. What are some things that you can do instead of thinking about those things that you don't want to happen? Joe, go ahead.
I find that something you could do is to think about what you do want to happen. Now, it's not always going to work. Like anything in life, it's not going to work 100% of the time. But it can't hurt. It hurts you more to think about what you don't want to happen than to think about what you do want to happen. For example, instead of, let's just say you're going to speak to a friend and you anticipate a word. Instead of in your mind saying, I don't want to get stuck on here, you could say, I want them to understand clearly what I'm gonna say. So that might mean re like the sentence you were originally gonna say, you might have to rephrase that. But at least you're like, okay, they're going to understand this more clearly. So your mind is not focused on not being stuck, it's more focused on them understanding what you're saying. So you're kind of like serving the audience or the person you're speaking to instead of focusing on yourself and what you don't want to happen so you don't embarrass yourself or so you don't look bad.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. So, if you think about it and just think about this logically, if, for example, you have this pattern of thinking, because that's what it is, and so I want to make sure that you understand that whenever you get into a situation, let's just say you have to introduce yourself. This is one of the common ones. For me, it was reading. Go around the room, like you're in a training. They go around the room and they want everyone to read something, or same thing, they want everyone to introduce themselves. Start becoming anxious, start anticipating. So it's not going to help you 100%. It's not going to help you to worry about that. It's not going to help you to start thinking about what you don't want to happen or hoping that it doesn't happen, right? You know 100% that's not going to help you. Later, we'll talk about some things that you can and should think about. But for now, just remember, you know that's not going to help you. Well, what will help you? Let's give you a couple of options. One option is to think about how you do want to say it. I'll just give you some personal examples, or at least one example. I used to look at going around the room as an opportunity to shine, to present myself, for people to hear me, right? So it's an opportunity for people to hear how smoothly I speak or how I articulate, for people to see me. So instead of thinking about, oh, I hope I don't get stuck, I hope I don't get stuck on those first words, I'm thinking about, wow, this is an opportunity for people actually hear me speak. So by thinking about that, that is going to be far more helpful than thinking about what I don't want, like getting stuck. Even if you feel like, well, that probably won't work, the thing you know will work is if you think about getting stuck or not getting stuck. You know that's going to hurt you. So why not at least give this thing over here a chance? Give the other option a chance. Because I already know that that eventually is going to help you. But even if you didn't know that, you know the other option is going to hurt you. So give the other one, give the other option a chance. Think about, wow, this is an opportunity. This is an experience that I can embrace. This is practice. Like, this is a practice opportunity for me. Like Joe said, you can also think about the value. For example, if it's not just introducing yourself, but if you have to give an update or you have to share something or tell a joke, anything, how is this going to affect or impact the people who are listening to you, the audience? Once again, it's what we call a positive distractor, right? You know, thinking something else is going to hurt you 100%. But if you think about the value, relevancy, how you're going to hold their attention, is this clear? Are they understanding it? Well, even if that didn't help you, you know it's not going to hurt you. Think about that. One, you know it's going to hurt you. The other one, it's not going to hurt you. More than likely, it's going to help you. So you might as well do that. Now, let me explain something to you about these thoughts and why it's so difficult to get out of it. When you find yourself constantly, every time a situation comes up and you're constantly thinking negatively about it, what is that? What's happening? Well, it's a pattern. It's a habit, right? And let me ask you this. What's the good thing about patterns and habits? So again, you have an upcoming social or professional situation. You're negatively anticipating it and it just happens automatically. You try not to do it, but it keeps happening. That's a pattern. That's a habit. It's a habitual way of thinking or a thought pattern. But what's the good thing about patterns? Joe, go ahead.
The best thing about habits and patterns is that they can be changed. I've any pattern, any habit can be changed. This is why you could see somebody who used to be 300 pounds, and a year after you see them and you're like, wow, that's you. They did not just lose the weight, they just changed their habits and patterns. For example, I'm pretty sure they didn't just go 1 month and just lost all the weight. It was day after day, month after month. They just changed their habits, and slowly and gradually, you have the result that you see now. They're not 300 pounds anymore, they're 150. So, habits and patterns, any habits and pattern can be changed, because if you could learn something, that means you could unlearn it and you can learn something new.
Exactly. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, these kind of laws and principles are very important. I'm going to put out some articles and some videos on the science behind the Pro90D system, which you can research the science behind our base daily routine, BASC. And I'm going to update that and the science behind our coaching. Why would I put out the science? Because once you know that this will work, that it doesn't matter who you are, how severe you are, what your experience is, this will work for you. The only reason it wouldn't work is if you get in your own way, like your own beliefs about different things, your effort, right? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Then those are the reasons why it wouldn't work. But the system itself is just based on good, solid science. And the core of the science has to do with neuroscience or neuroplasticity, which has to do with how you and I can rewire and change our brains. It doesn't matter if there's something a little wrong with our brains in terms of why we have a disfluency, right? So those of us who may stutter, stammer, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Our brains can rewire itself, go out and grab other parts of the brain, do what we call reconstitution and say, hey, here's something that's not quite working the way it should. other people are fluent. So, well, why can't I be fluent? Okay, well, our brains can go out and say, well, this part is not working. We have a little bit too much of a neural transmitter that causes us to feel anxious and stutter. Or we don't have enough of this neural transmitter that causes us to feel anxious and stutter. So our brain can rewire itself so that uses other parts of our brain to substitute, right? To pick up where the other part has left off or where it's not working correctly. Or it can rebuild certain things. So your brain is malleable. It's what they call it, plastic. That's why they call it neuroplasticity. So once you know this and you believe it, and I've experienced it personally, and I've helped other people, and I've watched other people change their speech. Then you have more confidence, and you believe that, hey, if I keep doing this, and if I figure out what I'm not doing and what I need to do more of, what I need to do different, then you'll have greater belief, greater faith, more confidence in the process. So, for example, you have this pattern of thinking every time a social situation or event comes up. As Joe said, the good thing about patterns, habits, is they can be changed. Now, I want to, and you've heard me say this before, instead of using the word change, I want to use the word replace. So you have a current way of thinking about something and feeling and behaving. You can actually replace that with a new one, right? You can replace. In fact, I did a book many years ago, Don't Try to Stop Stuttering, Replace It. So you can replace that current pattern of thinking negatively anticipating. Here's an example. And this is something that I used for years, and now it's automatic. So let's just say you have a presentation coming up. It just could be in a meeting, it could be where you're sitting, it doesn't have to be in front of a big audience. It can be virtual, whatever it is. But let's just say you have a presentation that you need to prepare for. What many people do or will do is they'll negatively anticipate that thing, right? They'll worry about all the things they don't want to happen. Often they'll worry about the things that they do want to happen. I want to make sure I do this. I have to get this right, so forth and so on. What I learned is rather than negatively anticipating that event or experience, you positively anticipate it, right? You positively anticipate it. And the way I would positively anticipate, especially a presentation, is I would prepare for it. So think about this. If I thought about that presentation 100 times, just kept thinking about it, kept thinking about it, worried about it, worrying about it. Well, all that I need to do is replace that anxious thought, that worrying thought with preparation. Which means if I think about it 100 times, if I were going to worry about it 100 times, I've now prepared for it 100 times. Does that make sense? So what I did is over time, rather than allowing myself to worry about something that came up, I replaced that thought, that negative thought, with a positive, constructive one. What was it? It was preparation. So now I'm preparing for it. Every time I think about it, I'm preparing for it. Okay, how do I want to say this? How do I want to do this? What kind of impact do I want to have? How can I make this clear? Thinking about that. But that is a new pattern that I created over time. So every time I thought negative, I didn't fight it. I didn't fight it. I didn't say, no, I don't want to think that. I don't want to think that. I just simply shifted my focus, shifted my thought over it to preparation. Negative thought, preparation. Negative thought, preparation. Well, what happens over time whenever I have an upcoming presentation? Well, I stop having negative thoughts. Now, full just kicks in preparation, preparation. Now, the only thing I think is preparation. So, let me hear some of your thoughts about that. You can share some of your experiences with things that have come up where you've worried about it, and then tell me what happened when you worried about it. And some of you will have experiences where you initially worried about something, but then you shifted your focus to preparation or to something else, and tell me about the outcome there. We're also going to talk briefly about being present. So there are some situations where it's kind of hard to prepare for it, right? It's just better to think about something else, right? To just be present and not think about anything. So we'll briefly talk about that. Then we'll shift over to the law of flexibility and fluidity. That's a big one. So before we do that, any questions about this? And we'll give you a couple more strategies here too, so that you can implement this law of relaxation. But I really want you to ask your questions or share some of your experiences, because this is more, should be more interactive rather than me just speaking at you. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so my question is, how do you handle feeling undeserving, quote unquote? For example, right? There are certain weeks or certain days where I speak more fluently, and obviously, if I speak more fluently that day, I get more sales, I perform, more, and then let's just say the next week I'm not as fluent and I can tell like I'm not performing as well. I'm not as present. Like I would think about when I was a kid, like times I would get stuck when I was a kid when folks would laugh. That's what's been happening this week. Don't know why. And then let's just say somebody say, "Hey man, you had a great week last week." And I'll just be like, "Oh, okay, sure." Just because I don't, how I'm feeling now, it's not equating to who I was last week. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, like this week I've had some guys come up to me and say, "Hey man, you had a great week last week. You were popping off." And I don't feel like that was me because of how I'm speaking now in the current moment. Does that make sense? It's kind of weird.
So here's a couple of things that you want to ask yourself, and then I'll answer some other questions here. Here's a couple of things you want to ask yourself. Is there anything going on? So it's kind of like a little checklist. Anything going on in my life that will cause me to be feeling differently? For example, am I tired? Am I upset about something? Am I worried about something? Relationships, finance, health, right? That not get enough rest. I have too much coffee or sugars. Those would be the main ones. Is there something going on that's distracting me, that's drawing on my speech, that's drawing on my emotions? If so, then you want to acknowledge that and take action. Okay. And if you can't take action, then you have to deal with it, right? But usually you can do something. You can remove yourself from the situation. You can begin to work on that situation. For example, if it's relationships or finances, you can work on it. You're taking action. So by saying, "Hey, there's something else happening in my life that's drawing on my speech today or this week. Is there anything I can do about it?" Once you start taking action, you'll find that your speech goes back up. You start actually feeling more confident. Because of the law of control, you're now taking control of that aspect of your life. But let's just say there's nothing going on and it's just happening. You're just having these thoughts or these feelings. Well, then what you want to do is understand that that's a pattern, it's a belief, and that you have to change it. So, still using the law of control, you ask yourself, what else can I do, or what can I do to make my speech better? So rather than fighting, in fact, that's a perfect example of the law of relaxation and all mental workings, effort defeats itself. The more you try to figure that out and fight it, the worse it gets. So rather than fighting with that, this week's not going well, I'm not having a good speaking week, I'm thinking about this, feeling this way, just get into action and say, what can I do to improve my speech? What I've seen people do is they'll go into different dips. So remember this, as you go through this process, you will experience dips. But as long as you continue to do the work, it'll go like this, right? You'll hit a dip, but ultimately you're still moving in an upward trajectory. So you experience dips. And now what you need to do is to lean into that dip, which means, and I've seen people put in more practice time, get out and expose themselves more, ask themselves, what else can I do? Or what can I do to improve this aspect of my speech? I like to inflect more. I want to model more. I want to listen to more audio. I want to do more self-talk. So you find one or two things that you want to focus on and you do more of it. You immerse yourself more. Does a couple of things for you. Build your confidence, right? When you immerse yourself more, you're giving yourself a better opportunity to rewire your brain because of Hebb's law, right? Hebb's law. Remember what that is. It's when neurons that fire together wire together, which is kind of repetition. So the more you lean into and say, what can I do to improve my speech as opposed to focusing on why is my speech like this? Then you're activating Hebb's law and you're doing something that actually gets you out of that dip. Rather than staying in the dip, leaning backwards and allowing those negative emotions to overtake you. So I hope that that answered your question. The answer is you might be experiencing that. If there's a reason outside of your speech that's drawing down on your speech, then take care of that, right? Identify it and take care of it. If there's no reason that you can identify, then figure out what you can do more of to improve your speech. That action, that forward momentum, that thing that you're doing that's constructive is going to eventually get you out of the dip and you'll come out on a higher level. And the next time you go into a dip, you do the same thing. Okay. So that's my answer to that question. Let me go to some of the chats here because we've got quite a few. If your efforts and beliefs are counterintuitive, would a program still work? Let me come back to that. To type into the chat box, explain that just a little bit more in the chat box if your efforts and beliefs are counterintuitive. Explain that a little more and so that I can wrap my mind around it. I'm going to move on to another question and then we'll come back. Even when I prepare, I worry about getting through all the content and presenting it in a way that they will understand. So then I try to hurry through the content and I make so many mistakes that I beat myself up afterwards. Okay. So that some of that comment has to do with actually how you structure your presentation and what your expectations are. So let me just give you a couple of tips, and hopefully this will address what you're saying. So you said, even when I prepare, you worry about getting through all of the content. So that may be a little bit of perfectionism. When I'm doing content or when I've had to do content, I would ask myself, what are the bare minimums? What are the few things they need to walk away with? So if you throw, and I've worked with, remember, I've been doing this for a long time, work with so many people, and they have a lot of stuff in their presentations, probably more than what they need. And so now they feel the pressure to have to get through everything. And sometimes there's time constraints, there usually is. Or the time has changed. Now they don't have as much time. Now they've put themselves, not they've put themselves, but now they're under more pressure. So if you have a presentation and you have 10 things that you need to talk about, see if you can cut that down in half or more and say, what are the three things that I really need to get out? Or the five things. It's always like this, right? It's always like this. You can cut down some things or you can trim it and make it short, even if you have to touch on those 10 things, you can trim it down. If you think about that, then what you can do is take a lot of pressure off yourself from feeling like I have to get through all this content. No, I don't. Actually, I only really need to get through these few things. And then I can go back and touch on these other things. Okay. When you do that, you've now cut the material down. Now you have more than enough time to get through those three things or five things, thinking about the 80-20 rule, 80% of the value is going to be in 20% of the content. So you can find, here are the two or three things that I really need to talk about. And then the other stuff I can add in. Now you focus on that 80% or 70%, whatever it is. Now you have more time and you feel more relaxed and you don't have to rush through the content. So think about your next presentation, 80-20 it. What's the stuff that I must talk about? Let me make sure I put that up front in the first 20% of the time. Let me make sure I get this out of the way up front and then go back to the other stuff. Less is more. Less is more. If you're rushing through the content and you're making mistakes, you're not going to accomplish the goal you wanted to accomplish anyway. So you might as well cut it down and focus on the few things that are most important, get that out, then you will have accomplished the goal. So once again, it's kind of that thinking where, you know what, if I keep doing this, I'm not going to reach my goal. This is definitely going to hurt me. But if I try this, even if it didn't help, it's not going to hurt. But I'm telling you, it's going to help. All right. So just that one idea can take a lot of pressure off yourself, cutting down the content. So I hope that that is helpful. I found it helpful to visualize and focus on the end result I want. For example, focusing on how pleased I am with my speaking result, gone as far as seeing individuals telling me I did a great job. Excellent. So when you visualize, and I'll just touch on this briefly, it's very, very powerful when you visualize to do a couple of things. One, you can visualize people nodding and smiling, telling you, great job. I've actually had clients come back and tell me, lots of clients, that people came up to them or emailed them and said, you did a great job on that presentation. These were people who used to stutter before, who used to avoid those presentations. But because they went through the process, people actually said, you did a great job, right? And they don't normally say that to people that did a regular presentation in a meeting. So they must have done an extraordinary job. So when you visualize that happening, it supercharges you, it energizes you, right? And you actually start doing things to move yourself towards achieving that result as opposed to worrying about what you don't want to happen. So you start visualizing, right? Which is a way to activate those neurons that represent your speaking well. When you visualize it, your brain doesn't really know the difference between it actually happening and you're imagining it. And you actually see how you want people to respond to you. It keeps your mind off the negative and focuses it on the positive. And you'll find that you actually perform better. So thank you for that. That is extremely powerful. All right. When I first started this job, I was nervous about presenting during training sessions. So literally scripted what I would say with my slides, then went through it, recording myself, great. Then I would listen, tweak it, repeat. This really helped me. All right. Couple of things about that. I don't like to use scripts, but they can be extremely helpful for some people. And once you've prepared, your brain knows that you're prepared, so you actually feel more confident. Here's a powerful tip that she just shared with us. She recorded herself. A lot of times people don't like the way they look and sound, and so they project that to the audience or to the other person. When you record yourself and you watch yourself, we call this your video identity or your video self concept. You record yourself, you look at it, and at first you're like, ugh, I don't really like the way that looks or sounds. But eventually, keep tweaking it, and you're like, you know what? I actually like the way that looks and sounds. Well, guess what? You're going to project that to the audience. You're going to project that you're comfortable with yourself, you're confident, you like the way you look and sound, and therefore other people are going to sense that and they're going to like the way you look and sound. So by recording yourself and then watching it, you go through that period of, ah, that looks, you know, I don't like that. You go through that period, then you start to like it, and then you project that to other people. Trust me, that works. I literally have probably tens of thousands of videos out there from years and years and years ago. So that's a very powerful tip and tool and process. So hopefully others can learn from that. All right. And then she said, this really helped me feel less nervous, as well as to improve your speech patterns. So she kept repeating and tweaking, right? Repeating and tweaking. And that process was a substitution. So instead of worrying, spending that time worrying about what she did, she actually took action, constructive action in preparing, which is what we've been saying. So find something you can do constructive that will help you rather than worrying, which is destructive and negative. All right, Mirella, how do I take off the pressure in a moment when I'm speaking and everyone is looking at me? What should I do to feel calm and relaxed through the entire conversation? This brings us to presence. This brings us to presence. How can I explain this? So there are some exercises that we can do, very, very simple ones that can help us to be more present, to kind of learn to control our thoughts in a sense so that they're not so busy. One is just to use your senses. You can pick a sense, like your sight or sound, and look at your environment and just notice things and describe them in your mind. What's around you? Same thing with your hearing. You can just sit, be quiet, and listen to the sounds. Could be something that's buzzing, could be birds, could be traffic, right? Listen to the, could be your heartbeat, right? So you just listen and allow yourself to focus on that. What this does is it helps you to become more present. So what I learned how to do years ago is when I'm in a conversation, empty my mind. Don't have any expectations. Don't think about what I want to say, how I want people to see me. I hope this person doesn't think that. I need to say this. I need to make sure I jump in and say something intelligent. Just empty your mind. And when you empty your mind and you just go with the flow, you listen to what they're saying, and you trust that you'll say what you need to say in that moment, you take the pressure off yourself because you haven't set up a bunch of expectations as to how you need to speak and the impression that you need to make. In some cases, you might even, there are some people who feel like they need to say something. I need to say something, or I need to say a whole bunch of stuff. Once you take that pressure off, right, then you're like, no, you know what? I really don't need to say a whole lot, but you might want to, and you can, but you take the pressure off of expecting that you'd need to. So being present in that moment can help address that. Let's take a look at something else that you said. Everyone is looking at you. Also, Vic and Rick, right? You'll hear me talk about this a lot because it's an excellent tool. When you're speaking, you want to turn the spotlight, turn the focus on that person. Get out of your own head and put the focus on that person. How can whatever I'm saying right now, or how is what I'm saying right now relevant to this person, relevant to this conversation? How can I make sure I'm adding value to this conversation? How can I make sure I'm speaking in a way that's holding their attention? Impact, that's the I. How can I make sure that I'm being clear in whatever it is that I'm saying, clear in my style and clear in the structure, the logic of what I'm saying? You can do this in social conversations as well as professional ones. So the goal is to shift the focus from yourself, put it on that person. And in the back of your mind, you're just thinking, is what I'm saying relevant? Is it valuable? Am I holding their attention? Is this clear? In addition to that, you're also emptying your mind. So you can kind of bounce back and forth between both. You're emptying your mind. You have no expectations. You're just there listening, being yourself. I'll give you another little example. Doesn't matter what your religion is or if you don't have one, it really doesn't matter. But this is an example, and you can use whatever model you want. Several years ago, I asked myself if, for example, Jesus were to go into this place, whatever, let's just say it's a bar, right? Whatever it is, social conversation. If Jesus were here, how would people see him? How would people act? How would he act? Would he be inside of his own head? But would he just be present? Would he be soaking in the environment? Would he be smiling? Would he be very present and empty-minded? And if someone came to him and talked to him, he would acknowledge them. He'd be thinking about something that he could say that would be relevant and valuable to them. So would he have a lot of expectations about impressing people? Now, obviously, we don't know this 100%, but you can imagine that he probably would be present. He probably would be compassionate. He probably would be thinking something like a Vic or a Rick, right? Just imagining that and modeling that. I can tell you going forward that I've had people who didn't know me, who would come up and say something about you, something about your presence. We like that you're here. You make me feel calm. All of that, and I didn't used to be that. I mean, people didn't used to say that. But the reason is because I started getting out of my own head, being more present, not having expectations. And so I projected that, and that caused me not to feel anxious in a conversation, not even to think about impressing other people. So hopefully those little tips can help you. So the idea is to be more present, learn how to empty your mind, not have expectations for the conversation, not have expectations for how you need to impress the other person, and to also think about and or to think about Vic and Rick. All right. Explaining, even though you don't feel like anything is working at the moment, you still do the exercise. Would you still see results? Great question. And then I'm gonna move on after I answer this, but then I'm gonna come back and I'll stay for a while and answer the other questions. I want to get to the law of flexibility and fluidity. So let me address this and then I'll come back to Gabriel and a couple of other questions. So yeah, this is where the science comes in, right? If you know that something is science-based, that's the way your brain works, you have more confidence. So you might need to tweak the exercise, you might need to do a different exercise. But if you know, for example, learning a language, there's lots of different ways to learn a language. So I'm still, and I'll probably, well, forever, I'll be learning Spanish just because I haven't immersed myself in it lately. But I know that if I go and I speak to someone in Spanish, even if it's for just 30 minutes or an hour, I become more comfortable, I become more confident, and I speak more fluently. I know that as a fact. I know if I go and stay in a place for a week, within a day or two, I become more fluent. It's a principle, it's a law, it's a fact, right? So, what does that mean? Well, you know, if you practice certain things, you do certain things, but then you expose yourself, right? And you get out and you desensitize yourself, you know you're going to start to feel calmer, more relaxed, more confident, and be more fluent. Because it's how your brain works, right? It may take you a little longer, but it will happen. And the more you immerse yourself, the faster it will happen. So part of the challenge for many of you is that you're not immersing yourself both in the practice and in the real life experience, the exposure, right? So some of you are doing a lot of private practice, but not as much public practice, that is getting out and going through those dips and those experiences that make you feel uncomfortable. You have to go through that. You can practice by yourself and be completely fluent. As soon as you get in front of someone, what do people say? Goes out the window. Well, part of the reason is because you haven't been using it all the time in no and low pressure, right? And you haven't been exposing yourself to speaking situations where you can put it into practice and yes, fail, but you put it into practice and then you desensitize yourself. You start becoming more confident, more relaxed, more fluent. So keep those things in mind. And if you remember that, then you know that if you keep doing the exercises, it's going to work. Again, you may have to tweak some things. You may have to say, wait a minute, instead of doing this, I might need to do more of that. That's where the coaching comes in. So you have a question like that, You may not know the answer. And you so you ask a coach like myself or Farouk. And because of our experience, right, I've been doing this for 12 years straight, I can immediately say, do this. Or now don't focus so much on that. Focus on this. Or I can ask you some questions and say, hey, have you been actually out there exposing yourself to higher pressure speaking situations? Say, well, no, I've just been doing this. Aha, you got to do that. Or I might say, have you been using your speaking style when you don't feel like you need to around people that you know, maybe even when you're fluent? Have you been using your new speaking style? Say, well, no, I don't feel, you got to use your, you got to use it when there's no to low pressure so that when it's higher pressure, your brain has it wired in. If you don't use it when you're practicing and then no to low pressure, the wiring won't be there. The neural network that represents that new way of speaking won't be there, or it'll be weak. So then when you need it in high pressure and you try to activate it, there's too much anxiousness, there's too much nervousness there. You won't be able to really activate it. So a coach can tell you that, can identify those specific things. All right. I'll come back and address some of the other questions in just a minute. But let's take a look at this next law, which is the law of flexibility and fluidity. I'm going to give you some specific examples. For those of you that need to leave, you can leave, but I'm going to be hanging out here for at least another 30 minutes or so. But let me just go through this so that at least you get this by 1 o'clock, so in the next few minutes. It says success is best achieved when you're clear about the goal, but flexible about the process of getting there. All right, so what do we mean by that? Well, as you see, there's kind of a little river running there. So the law of flexibility says that you want to have as many options and choices as you can. When you back yourself into a corner, and I'll give you some specific examples, and when you say, hey, there's only one way for me to say this. I can't put any words in front of this. I have to say this this way. You've just exponentially increased the pressure on yourself because then you start thinking, well, previously I haven't been able to say it or I've gotten stuck. And so that's probably going to happen again. And this is the only way I can do it. So what'll happen is you'll avoid it or you'll get stuck when you say it because you've put a lot of pressure on yourself. So here's an example. Many years ago, and I shared this in the video, I took a job working on the phone where I had to answer the phone. Hated answering the phone, had a hard time saying hello. So using this law of flexibility, I said, how else can I answer the phone? And if I need to say hello, how else can I say hello? So I said, well, let me just add the word yes. Yes, hello. Yes, hello. So I kind of tricked my brain into not into thinking, well, I'm not really saying hello, I'm saying solo, I'm saying yes, hello. I kind of changed the word, but obviously people would hear yes, hello. So I asked the trainer, is it okay if I do that? She said, sure. And I hear lots of people do it now. So by doing that, I was now able to answer the phone 100% of the time, no problems. Law of flexibility. You have to be flexible. I need to answer the phone. I need to say hello. How do I do it? Right? Remember, it says, here's the goal. You're clear about the goal, but flexible about the process. The process is I can say something like, yes, hello. Okay. Let me give you another example. I was in the military, platoon leader. Needed to call my platoon to attention. Couldn't say attention. Had to call my platoon sergeant up to call the platoon to attention. Then I had to explain why I got stuck later. I said, well, I have to do this. I have to say attention. I can't really put a bunch of words in front of it in this case, right? It's the military. Most of you are not going to be in a situation where you only have to say one word. You're just not, even if you think you are, even in the military where I had to say that. So I figured out a different way to say, oh, I just changed this. Oh, hand shut. So I changed the way I said it. Okay, so the law of flexibility says I have to say this, but I can even change the way, I can tweak the way I'm saying this word. In some cases, you soften the word, or you add a little sound in front of it, or in most cases, you can add words in front of it. So the law of flexibility says the more options I have, the freer I feel, the more relaxed I feel, the calmer I feel, the more in control. A lot of you feel like my speech is out of my control. I want to say this and my air cuts off and I can't say it. Well, when you understand that you have options, now you say, well, I can say it. I just might need to say it a little differently. Now, this is where the law of fluidity comes in, right? And this law, this little something that I came up with, is you think about your speech like water, right? Think about your speech like water that flows. Water is going to find its way. It'll go over, it'll go around, it'll go under. In some cases, it'll go through. So you think about your speech like water, and you think about if this word doesn't come out, I can add a little word or sound in front of it. In some cases, I may need to change the order in which I'm saying this. In some cases, I might need to change how I explain it. I might need to use different words if I can, and then come back and say the word later. Done all these things. One of the benefits to using different words, which is not something that I highly recommend, but it is an option, is it taught me how to explain things in lots of different ways. So it actually became an asset. But if you use our system, what will begin to happen is you will be able to say what you want because you've taken the pressure off. Just by saying yes, hello, I often was just able to say hello because there's no more pressure there. I stopped believing that I couldn't answer the phone or I couldn't say hello. And when I felt like I couldn't say hello, I would just add yes, no problem. And the problem is that some of you will feel like, well, I should be able to just say this or say it this way. Well, right now you couldn't. You have a hard time doing it. Don't fight it. Remember the law of relaxation. Just say, I'll just say yes. It's no problem. Remember, water flows. It doesn't stop and go, well, I don't really want to go that way. I want to go this way. It just says, hey, can't go this way, then we'll go this way. I can't go that way, we'll come back and we'll go this way. So it flows. So you want to make sure that your speech flows. There might be times where I'm speaking and I just get a sense this word isn't going to flow. Let me add a sound. Let me add this word. And it becomes automatic so that the speech flows. Once your speech starts to flow like that, you take the attention and pressure off yourself. And then you find that you're saying whatever you want to say. There are some words that I know when you're speaking, you can say when you're not thinking about it. But as soon as you think about it, as soon as you fixate on that word, all of a sudden you have a hard time saying it. So the goal of one of the goals of Pro 90D is to take the attention off of those words and letters, even off of speaking itself, right? But let's take the attention off the words so that you're just thinking about the content. Like now, I'm not thinking about any words at all. No words at all. I'm just thinking about the idea and the message that I want to communicate to you. That's where you want to get. All right. So you want to think about your speech in terms of flexibility. You want to give yourself options and you want to think about your speech like water that flows. So don't dam yourself up by saying, I got to say it this way. I could only say my name. Let me give you an example. One of my clients told me this the other day. Going around the circle, everyone had to introduce themselves. And when they started, people were saying, hi, my name is this, and this is my specialty. And then other people just gave the first name or gave their whole name. So she felt like, okay, now it's my turn. I just need to give my name. And I feel like I'm not going to just be able to say my name. I'm going to have a hard time. Now she's building pressure up. And she wasn't able to initially say her name. So she had to say some other stuff anyway before she said her name, right? Like, oh, sometimes I stutter and my name is what? Well, guess what? Guess what she could have done using the law of flexibility and fluidity. She said, hi, that's nice to be here. My name is this, and here's my special. Hi, it's nice to be here. My special is this. Oh, and my name is this, right? Perfectly okay. Other people had done it. Doesn't matter if anyone did it or not. If that's what you need to do in the moment, but that's instead of having a rigid mindset, You have a flexible and fluid mindset. And strategically, what this does is it creates more success. When you get out of your own way, you stop damming up your speech, you stop erecting barriers by saying, I can only say it this way, I have to say this right now. And you become more flexible in your mindset, more fluid, you create more successes. And the more successes you create, the more successful experiences and memories your brain has to go back and recall and predict your future experiences. This is what your brain does. It goes back and it says, hey, how did we speak yesterday? How did we speak the other day? How did we speak 5 minutes ago? Oh, well, we got stuck. Well, then we're probably going to keep getting stuck. If your brain says, oh, I was able to introduce myself. You don't have to worry about if you had to use introductory words. Just, I was able to introduce myself smoothly, right? Even if I felt like I was going to get stuck, I just threw a couple of words and I was able to do it. But that's a success, right? And the more you do that, then guess what happens? The more you'll be able to do it because your brain will then predict you did it successfully yesterday, you'll do it successfully again. All right? So the more relaxed you are by taking the pressure off, right? By not trying to force yourself, by replacing, instead of fighting, by replacing your thinking patterns and speech patterns with something better. Don't fight it, just replace it. The more relaxed you'll feel, and the more relaxed you are, the more flexible you'll be able to be. Because when you're more relaxed, you can think more creatively. You can think more clearly, right? And when you're able to think more clearly, you can see more options. When your mind gets cloudy and it's closed and it's rigid and you feel anxious and nervous, it's very hard for you to be creative. You can't see those options. So then you're stuck. Does this make sense? And then the more flexible you are and fluid you are, the more options you have. Well, guess what? The calmer you feel, the more relaxed you are, right? So it works kind of in a cycle. All right. What are some things you can do? Breathing. Pause and breathe. Hopefully, you've all seen my PIES method. Pause, inhale, exhale, speak on the exhalation, and slow down. PIES. Essentially, we're talking about three things: pausing, breathing, and slowing down. If you do this, you'll get 80% of your results. So, in the pause, you're slowing your speech down. You're giving yourself an opportunity, like I just did right then, to take in a nice breath. And that oxygen allows you to think more clearly. It slows your heart rate down, right? You start to feel more relaxed by pausing, by breathing, and then thinking. I have a client who says he doesn't just tell himself to slow down. He tells himself to speak super, super slow. Not just super slow, not just slow, but super, super slow. Because telling himself to slow down didn't work. Telling himself to speak super slow didn't work. So he has to say super, super slow. When he did that, guess what? Now he's actually slowing his speech down. So pausing, breathing, slowing down. All right. What are your questions about anything that I've talked about? Let me go back and address some of the previous questions. If I had to put more text on my slides to help me when I block, this tends to make the slides too wordy and looks like I'm just reading the slides. I would like to reduce the text and speak freely without reading the slides. Yes. So I'm not a big slide guy. And if you notice on these slides, just have a couple words, I mean, a few words, right? But it's not too wordy. And so what I do is I internalize the information rather than memorizing it. This you will find in our ultimate presentation system. I want to encourage you guys, I'm going to put a link in here. Join our virtual speech masters club. It's $120 for 6 months, not every month, for 6 months, and you get the course. But even if you don't attend initially, you get the course, go through the course, then you can start attending and putting into practice what you're learning. So I'm going to grab that link, but I'll also send it to you an email. And so you don't put a lot of words, you kind of summarize what you want to say. You rehearse it, like the other lady said, you practice it. Again, I don't use a script, but you practice what you want to say. So that essentially, every time you practice it, you're saying the same thing or something very similar. What this does, this also is a part of the law of relaxation and flexibility and fluidity. You give yourself freedom to use different words when you need to. So you rehearse it. You say, okay, here's a slide on the law of flexibility and fluidity. Here's the definition. I don't have to read it, or I can read it, right? But I can use different words if I want. Success is best achieved, or I can say you can achieve success when you're clear about achieving the goal, when you're clear about the goal, but you're flexible about how you achieve. You're flexible about the process. So notice what I did. I just kind of summarized it, moved some words around. You can do that. Like you have the freedom and flexibility to do that. So you internalize the information, don't memorize it. Right? Internalize it, don't memorize it. Then you'll feel like you're more in control, you have more flexibility, you have more options, and you don't have to read or you can summarize. Hopefully that was helpful. When I model, I feel like I'm not sounding like my model. That makes me frustrated, even though I can feel and speaking, I'm f speaking differently than my old self. Does modeling mean sounding exactly like my model? All right, I did a video on answering some of these questions. I believe it's on YouTube, but I'll check. And I'll if I remember, I'll try to get that out to you. So, no, you don't have to try to sound because you're going to have a different voice quality. You might have an accent. You don't need to sound exactly like your model. What you do want to model is, for example, your model's rhythm, right? How they inflect, when they inflect, their speed, their mannerisms, their body language, facial expressions, right? How they emphasize different words. You can model those, but still have your same accent. How you articulate or enunciate, you can model that. How your model breathes, you can model that. So you can do those things where you feel different than yourself, but at the same time, you don't have to sound exactly like your model. So I hope that answers your question. So you don't have to get frustrated if you don't sound, but what you do want to shoot for are those other elements, characteristics that I just described. And really, that's it. The goal is to sound different than yourself, to sound smoother. And you'll be picking up or imitating rhythm, flow, and breathing, enunciation, and body language. All right, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're following the script, say steps 1 through 10, it might work fine in practice. However, when you're in front of an audience, the adrenaline kicks in. If you miss a line, for example, number three can throw you off. Yes, exactly. Also, when you have a script, if you come across a word that you get that you feel like you're going to get stuck on, that can throw you off. But what do you do? Because your mindset is that I have to follow the script. I can't say this word right now. What do I do? Even when, for example, I would be reading the Bible, I can start because we actually do reading practice in virtual speech messages. I can add a so, or I can add a well, or I can add an and, right? And say that word. So for some people, a script is great for preparation, for practice, even for implementation for some people. For me and for some other people, it can be a hindrance, right? So instead of having a script, you can have an outline, you can have bullets, but you have to rehearse so that every time you pass over that content, you're essentially saying the same thing. You might change it up a little. But it gives you flexibility. Okay. So, and if you miss something, like you say, that can really throw you off. If I'm not using a script, there's been times where I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe I said number two, or maybe I skipped number two and I went to 3 and 4, and I just went back to number two. No problem. Sometimes I skipped a number. And someone says, "Hey, Mike, you said there were going to be five things and you only gave us four." And I go, "Thank you. That shows that you're listening. So you go back and you do it. No problem. Take the pressure off yourself." All right. For me, the practice as well as practicing my breathing keeps the adrenaline in check. I actually build in pauses to make sure I breathe normally and stay present. Yes, the pausing, very important. Slow things down, give you control. In the pause, you have a chance to self-talk. I talked about this in a video called The Audience Effect. When you pause, it gives you time to relax. You temporarily are able to access more of your mental resources, right? To remind yourself to relax, to slow down, or here's what I want to say next. And it gives you time to breathe. Pausing is very, very important. All right, Michael, what do you think we should set on short-term, long-term goals? Can't really figure out what to look in short-term goals of success. Anyone gives answers. Anyone can give answers if you want. When you're talking about long-term and short-term goals, explain to me what you mean. Are you talking about long or short-term goals in terms of speech? So give me an example and we'll address that. All right. When I start to speak, the first sentences is one hard word. Second sentence might be two words. Third sentences might be more hard words. This pattern makes me lose confidence and do not like to continue the conversation. So you might start, might be a hard word, and all of a sudden, the next a part of this comes from, see, how can I explain this? There are some things you can do short term and things that you have to do long term. Modeling and using the proactive speaking skills, which you'll find in the course. And so I'm going to go grab, while I'm speaking, I'm going to go grab that link, will help you change your speech patterns, learning to pause and breathe and model and emphasize, whatever it is, right? Will help you change the way that you speak. By changing the way that you speak, you will reduce and, in some cases, eliminate blocks and getting stuck, right? So you'll reduce it and, in some cases, even eliminate, but no one's going to speak 100, 100. But you'll reduce it by changing the way that you speak all the time. Remember, not just when you need to, not just high pressure. When you're with your family, your friends, your kids, your husband, your wife, doesn't matter. Change the way you speak. Because of Hebb's law, you got to create that new pattern. Then you get used to using this new way of speaking, which means you increase your fluency level. You become more fluent. Now, that's kind of long term, but that helps you. That helps you immediately and it helps you long term. Short term, there's certain tools like airflow linking or emphasizing. Or adding a little sound in front of it. What time are we going? I just added an I'm not sure, right? Added an or a sound. So what time are we going? Yes, hello, right? These are like short-term little tricks, if you will, that you pull out of your tool bag. Here's something else, changing the way that you say something. What time is the meeting? So the meeting's gonna be at what time? Just change. Essentially said the same thing, just turned it around. Somebody goes, I don't wanna do that. Once you learn how to do it, it happens naturally. You just feel like, oh, the what's not going to come out. So add a so. What time? So what time? The meeting will be at what time? Don't worry about it. This is where the law of flexibility and fluidity comes in. The more success you experience and you don't try to fight it, the law of relaxation, try to fight that. No, I got to say it right now, just like this. No, I can say it. Five different ways. Let me just choose one and say it like that. All of a sudden, you find that your speech is what? It's flowing, right? It's flowing. Then you stop thinking about speaking. Then you're able to say whatever you want to say. So you use the tools in the short term to create fluidity, right? To create flow. And you change your speaking style to create flow and fluidity, right? These are both short term, but then long term, because you've changed the way you spoke and you've experienced more success, you actually stop seeing words, you stop thinking about words. And on the occasion that you do get stuck, then you use your tools and you figure out, okay, what do I need to do? I need to expose myself more, I need to practice a bit more, I need to relax, I need to breathe more, or sometimes it's just no rhyme or reason, I just got stuck. Just for example, I was away month or two ago, and I was speaking with some friends, relaxed, nothing's going on. All of a sudden, just breath got short, had a hard time getting some stuff out. There's no reason. I couldn't handle it. I just was like, okay, just breathe my way through it, got out of it, kept on flowing. Sometimes just don't worry about it. It's like a bump in the road. All right. All right. So, Gebra, in terms of speech progress, what success should we look for in the short term, like after a week or two? Yes, got it. All right. So, generally speaking, if you immerse yourself, you're going to start to see some differences immediately, like in that first day or two, the first week. Definitely within 2 to 3 weeks, you should see yourself speaking more fluently than you did pre-Pro 90D, for example. What does immersion mean? There's at least two parts to this. How much time are you putting in practicing privately? But also, how much time are you out speaking to people while trying to use your new speaking style? Here's an example, Jacob. Hopefully, you guys have seen this before and after. I've had other people just like that. They just didn't want to show their before. But he put in the practice time before. It wasn't anything extravagant, right? Put in the practice time before. But then he went out and spoke to people more while he didn't just go out and speak to people using his old speaking style. He used his new speaking style and spoke as often as he could, right? And so what this does is desensitize them, and he was able to implement, he was able to build the new neural network that represented his new way of speaking. So there's two parts to that. There's the private practice, which you need to do a much need to do and do enough of it. And then there's the public practice. Every time you open your mouth with anyone, you use your new speaking style. So you can expect to see results immediately meaning within the first 2 to 3 weeks. Beyond that, and let's go back, what kind of results should you see? Well, you start feeling more relaxed. You should start having more air in your system. You should be able to say things that you had trouble saying before. At least you're able to say them more smoothly than you were before. If you're practicing and you're using your new style, if you're leaving things out of your practice like modeling or the 7-7-7 breathing or free flow speaking, if you're leaving stuff out, then and you're just trying to use the techniques, then you might find that you're getting inconsistent results. Everything in the system is there for a reason. Again, I want to be putting some things out, so look for the videos and emails. You'll see the scientific foundation behind everything in that base daily routine. So you got to do all of it, including the audio listening, because that's helping to change your thinking patterns, like what you think about. The self-talk, all of those things help you change what you're thinking about, which helps change your feelings, helps change your speaking patterns, which also affects your feelings and your thoughts, right? So long term, you should get to a place where you're not thinking about your speech much anymore. Will there be times where you do think about it, where you do anticipate? Sure. When that happens, then you fall back on your tools. You breathe deeper, you pause more, you go super slow. All of us are going to be in situations where we feel anxious. You shift to preparation, or you just become more present. Like you use any of these tools in the moment, long term, to help you maintain that fluency. Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions? Hopefully that helped. Any questions? Any questions? Okay. I put a link in there for the Speech Masters Club. You want to join that. Again, if you're not in the system, you get the system and you can practice. Going to put another link now. The thing that you want to keep in mind is that if you're a professional and you feel stuck and you're not taking advantage of you, avoiding or not getting the opportunities you need, there are people passing you by who are less qualified, then you want to ask yourself the question, how much is that worth to me, right? Is my speech a liability or an asset? It's an asset, you get a return, it's an investment. Okay. So then you want to think about what's that investment worth? And am I going to receive dividends from that, not just the first month, but for the rest of my life? So I've had people who did the self-study, they got to a certain level, they plateaued, and they said, I need to get to the next level. So they work with us personally and privately, and they were able to almost immediately get better jobs, and they got their investment back for the coaching just like that. So keep that in mind, that this isn't something that's a cost, it's an investment. And as you move up in your career, even with the first job, you get that investment back probably in your first paycheck or your second paycheck, but then you keep getting it back every month. But then you've positioned yourself to become a leader, to become more influential, to take on different responsibilities. And now you're able to get a better job and a better job. So it just keeps giving. So don't be one of those people out there that says, ah, that's too much. That's not going to work. Then you spend the money on vacation or on something else that's not giving you the dividend that you need. So start out in the self-study, do the work, or some of you have done the self-study, you've watched the videos, invest in the coaching. I just put a link down there. I'm also adding some information on the science. So the only question is, do you believe this will work or not? It doesn't matter who you are, it will work for you if you do the work, right? Jacob said that if you do the work, it's going to work. All my clients will say that. So you do the work, it will work. If you don't do the work, it's probably not going to work. The only question is, are you willing to do it? Any other questions for me? All right, great, great. I'm trying to use the new speaking style, but now I'm between old speaking style and new. Very confused, and Phil do not know how to speak. Okay, so in between, you're in between the old. If you feel like it, come on video and explain that a little bit more to me. Or you can turn your audio on. I want to understand more about the question so I can answer it. We'll just take a few minutes. So you said you're in between the old style and the new style, and you're confused. Explain that to me a little bit more. And once again, you can come on video to do that if you like. Any other questions while she's kind of opening that up for me? Any other questions for me before we wrap up? Okay, so you want to keep these things in mind, right? The law of relaxation and all mental workings, effort defeats itself. We talked about that, how that works, why it works, and some specific examples. We also talked about the law of flexibility and fluidity. This is a big one. The more options you give yourself and how you want to say something, the freer you feel, the more confident you feel, the more relaxed you feel, and the more success you create. Fluidity, thinking about your speech like water. It will find a way to say what it wants to say. And as it does that, you actually stop thinking about speaking. You create more successes for yourself. You start feeling more relaxed, which helps you be able to be more fluent. Midell, are you still there? Okay, let me see if I
Yeah.
can.
Yes,
Yeah,
I am.
okay. Okay. I explain your question to me
I can start
a little.
the video. I don't know. It said unable to start video.
Okay. Go ahead and explain your question to me a little bit more.
Yes. Since I am a preschool teacher, I use the new. Okay. Since I am a assistant teacher in preschool, and it's a low pressure situation, I use my new speaking style all the time when I
Okay.
read, when I talk to preschoolers. But I go back in different situation, I go back to my old style, and now I am confused. Like I don't know the old style, I don't know the new style, like I am in the middle. What
Okay.
is the situation?
Give me an example. Just give me one example of when you might switch back to your old style.
When I switch back to my old style, I feel a lot of tension. I start to get stuck. When I use my new speaking style, I am very calm. I am very relaxed.
Give me a scenario like when you switch back to your old style, is it when you're with family or friends, when you're teaching? Where might you start using your old style
No,
or when?
when I'm with preschoolers, it's so easy. All the time, I use my new speaking style. When I am with my family members, I go back to the old speaking style because sometimes my daughter say to me, "Mom, you sound too professional. Stop." And I don't
Got
know
it.
what to do. I am.
Okay. Perfect. 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 Great example. This happens to a lot of people. So let me explain that to you, why that happens and what you can do about it. So a lot of it has to do with identity, right? So you have an identity or a self-concept or a belief about how you speak in different speaking situations, how you speak to your students, how you speak with your family, how you speak with strangers. You have an identity, and identities can be challenging or hard to change, but they can be changed. So, because you have this identity with your family, you feel comfortable for the most part. Sometimes it's a uncomfortable comfortability where you might not be speaking smoothly, but that's the way you've spoken, so it's comfortable. Well, your daughter also has an identity of how you speak to her, how you should speak to her, how you should sound. And so when you change that, it makes her feel uncomfortable. What do you have to do? Simply explain to her that you're changing your speaking style and this is the way you need to speak. And what will happen is just as she's gotten used to your old speaking style, she will get used to your new speaking style. So you have to go through that period of uncomfortability, where you feel a little uncomfortable, she feels uncomfortable, you feel resistance. You have to go through that and trust that she will change her concept of how you speak to her. It will happen because that's the way we are. If you speak like that to her all the time, guess what? She's going to adapt to that. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. And so, in short, my answer is you can explain to her that you're working on, that you're improving how you speak, and this is the way you need to speak with her. And then you continue to speak with her in that way. And in time, you'll feel more comfortable, and so will she. Okay. But just understand what's happening. So that you won't be confused. You'll say, oh, I know what's happening. It's just she feels uncomfortable because she has an identity. I have an identity. That's very normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is what I need to do in spite of that. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Great, great questions. Happens to a lot of people. All right. Any other questions before we wrap up? Okay, so I will do my best to try to get a replay of this out to you along with the training video. And we'll also get this up on YouTube. So I want to encourage you guys to go through this information and pick at least one thing and start to apply it immediately. Join our Virtual Speech Masters Club so you can get the course and put into practice what you're learning. If you've already been watching videos and implementing stuff, and you've reached the plateau and you need to accelerate your progress, one-on-one coaching is the fastest way. And it's simply a matter of, if you look at that link, it's simply a matter of, do you believe this will work or not? Are you financially able to invest in this? And once you know that this will work for you and the science was there, the before and afters are there, then it's a matter of you invest in it. And you're going to start to get the return. It's going to accelerate your progress. I've seen people who've been working on their own, and it's taken them years because they're in and out of the program. They start it, they stop it, they skip things, they still get results. They work with me, and in a fraction of the time, they're beyond where they were when they were working on their own for 2 years. So in a couple of months, they're way beyond where they were, and they were working on their own for 2 years. So if you've got interviews coming up, big presentations that could impact how your leaders see you and how they promote you, or even some people have contracted with me because they have social events where they want to be able to get up at a wedding and do something, then you have to ask yourself, is it worth the investment? If it's not, we don't want you to do it. But if it is, then take that step, do it, and do the work. All right. If there's no other questions, look forward to seeing you in the next one. And thank you so much for attending. And thanks for your questions also.